this third step is big steps. Okay? We're going to take big jumps today. Before I get to the passage, I just want to remind you that each one of these weeks when we started in, each one of these situations has started out with a conversation. And that lets us know a lot. It lets us know that all of this spiritual stuff, whether it's spiritual birth or baby steps or big steps, is relational. It's important to God that it starts at that point, that it's a relationship with Him. So when we get together on a Sunday morning like this and we go through a morning, it's all to help us move deeper into a relationship with God. That's what it's all about. It's to help us. So when you hear anybody talk about reading their Bible, it's not the duty of, man, I got to get my Bible out and read, because if I don't, God's going to be upset. It's not that. It's He wants us to move deeper and deeper into a relationship with Him. So each one of these starts off with a conversation. Do you remember the first conversation? It was Nicodemus came to Jesus at nighttime. And there's a lot of speculation as to why he did. For some, it's just back in the day, you couldn't come really until the evening because people worked hard all day, and so the evening was the only time. For some, they believe he came at night because the position he held put him in opposition to Jesus Christ. We didn't take that time that week to look at it, but Nicodemus is mentioned two other times in the Gospels. One is a time when this group of people that led the spiritual things of their community got together and argued about Jesus. And they were very negative about Jesus. They were calling him every name in the book. And Nicodemus said, listen, if it's real, it's God-given. So we shouldn't worry about this. If it's real, it's God-given and it'll continue on. And then the second time we see him after that is when Christ died. He was one of the two people that came in and took Christ's body down off the cross and took him to be buried. So we know from that conversation, something changed in Nicodemus's life. But it was strategic. He was intentional. He went to have a very direct conversation with Jesus. Do you remember what he said? We know you came from God because nobody could do the things you do unless he's sent by God. But last week, the conversation we looked at, it wasn't strategic, right? It was more of a surprise. Jesus just happened to be at the well, and the woman just happened to come to get water from the well at that time. It wasn't strategic. She didn't come because she heard Jesus was at the well. She just came for water. So some of the conversations start off and they're very strategic, and maybe that's you. Maybe you're searching strategically. Maybe it's a surprise to you. Maybe something's bumped into your life and there's a conversation with God that started that's a complete surprise. Well, today we're going to look at a completely different situation that just follows on the heels. These stories just go one right after the other. And this one is somewhat strategic and somewhat a surprise. And it's found in John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. So if you want to, you can follow on the screen behind me. It says this, and he, and it's talking about Jesus, traveled through Galilee. He came to Cana, where he had turned the water into wine. So there's this point back to the very first miracle that Jesus did. And you remember what that was? He turned water into wine at a wedding ceremony. So he's done that. He's gone away from Cana, and now he's back. And so there's already a little bit of conversation. There's already a little bit of buzz. Do you remember when Jesus was here and he turned the water into wine? Well, he's back now. Where he turned the water into wine. There was a government official in nearby Capernaum. It's about maybe 15, 16 miles away that this government official was, whose son was very sick. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and begged Jesus to come to Capernaum to heal his son who was about to die. Start putting pieces together here. Start putting the pieces together. Jesus comes back to Cana where he did his first miracle. And I love that his first miracle was at a celebration. I love that his first miracle was at this picture of two people committing themselves to each other for life. A loving, symbolic picture. I love that it was that. But the word got out, Jesus is back. And so somebody traveled that distance, which for us, 15 miles is nothing. For them, 15 miles wasn't easy. But you know what? It didn't matter how hard it was, because this dad was scared because his son was sick and close to dying. So he makes his way from Capernaum to Cana. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and, listen to what he said, begged Jesus to come to Capernaum to heal his son who was about to die. Jesus asked, "Will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders?" Listen to the answer. The official pleaded, "Lord, please come now before my little boy dies." Then Jesus told him, "Go back home. Your son will live." And the man believed what Jesus said and started home. While the man was on his way home, some of his servants met him with the news that his son was alive and well. He asked them when the boy had begun to get better, and they replied, "Yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock, his fever suddenly disappeared." Then the father realized that that was the very time Jesus had told him, "Your son will live." And then this is the result. And he and his entire household, the end word of that video we just watched, believed in Jesus. This was the second miraculous sign Jesus did in Galilee after coming from Judea. So I want to get one thing out of the way before I talk about big steps, okay? And it's something that is very obvious in this story. And it's this thought. Fear is a real emotion. It can happen in small ways. You know, you can be driving and concentrating on something else and all of a sudden realize the light has changed and you hit your brakes and come to a screeching halt as traffic goes across in front of you and you go, whew. But in this story, it's not talking about in small ways. It's talking about in big ways. It's talking about life and death ways. And it's talking about a parent and their child. This story gets deep and gets deep quick. Jesus comes to Cana, somebody's traveled 15, 16 miles in, and he approaches him, and he doesn't say, you know, something like, "Well, I need a little help with blah, blah, blah." He says, "Can you come? My son's sick, and he's about to die." I get a lot of different phone calls about a lot of different things. I don't think anything compares or matches up to the phone call that I get with a parent telling me about their child and their fear for their child's life. I don't think there's anything harder than that. This last week, as I was trying to think through this idea of fear as a real emotion, I reviewed situation after situation after situation after situation that, as a pastor, I've been involved in because dads and moms have come to this moment. And as I reviewed it, just in my own body, in my own heart, as I reviewed that, I remember the weight of it. I remember getting the call and getting in my car and getting to the hospital as soon as I could and going through the doors of the emergency room and going to the front desk and asking for such and such a family. And when I did, the nurse behind the glass looked at me and said, "Are you family?" And I said, "I'm a pastor." And it never fails. You could see the look in their eyes because they do this all the time. But they know And there's this kind of big-eyed look, and then their eyes relax a little because they're glad you're there, because they know this parent is in desperate need because they love their child. They bump the button that opens the doors, and I go through the doors and I walk down and they tell me the room number, and I pass this room where people are in pain, and this room, and this room, and this room, and then I get to room number 17 and I walk in. And you can feel it. This wasn't just another person that walked up to Jesus that had a need. This was somebody that he felt this need. To see that child in pain, or that child listless. And you look at the parents and it is written everywhere. They're scared. There's a lot of reasons for that. They're scared because that's their child. That's their child that they love. That's their child that they would give their life for. They're scared because they don't know what to do. They're scared because they don't know what's happening. They're scared because they're living in this moment and they don't know about the next moment. And this dad was that desperate. I don't know what to do. But if I have to walk 15 miles or 150 or 1500 miles, I'm going to walk it because my child is sick and about to die. This isn't a first step belief. This isn't a baby step. It's a big step. So I'm telling you, fear is a real emotion. In a situation like this, it can be consuming. I want to add a thought to that. We'll dive into it a little bit deeper in this story. But I want to say it, and it may come out like a bumper sticker, but it's not. It's just a simple phrase that I believe is completely true, and it's what God's trying to get us to see, know, and understand. And know this, to be fully alive, we've got to live in this. It's this opposite thing. Fear is a real emotion. Faith is a real option. When I walk into that room with the love that's there, the unknown that's there, the fear that's there, the uncertainty about a minute from now, an hour from now, a day, a week, the uncertainty of that, I know that fear is a real emotion and God gave it to us. But I also know this, that faith is a real option. That's what Jesus was saying to this man. You love your son. You don't know about the next moment. You know he's so sick that he's about to die. And I can tell there's fear in your heart. It moved you here. It wouldn't matter what mountain you had to go over, you would have done it. But he's going to introduce him to this other idea. Not just that faith is a real emotion, or that fear is a real emotion, but faith is a real option. And he's going to ask him to take that step. Can you imagine the dad that walked 15 miles and came? He'd heard about the miracles, and this was his hope, and his only hope. And he walks up to Jesus and he says, listen, I need you to come with me right now. Listen, my son is sick. He's not going to make it unless something happens. I need you to come right now. And Jesus' response is this. Go home. Your son's good. Now I need to, I need you to go with me. I need you to come in my house and go in his room. And I need to see you touch him or pray over him or do something. I need to see you do it. And I need to see him get out of bed. It's funny, as you move from story to story, Jesus just builds. He builds these idea of faith and growing. Because the bigger the faith, the fuller the life. The bigger the faith, the greater God's glory. The bigger the faith, the more we're alive. So he says to the dad something that he didn't say to Nicodemus, something that he didn't say to the woman. This wasn't a starting point. This wasn't first steps. This now is a big step of faith. Not that long ago, unbeknownst to our whole church family, one of the ladies in our church found out that her oldest daughter, who had been wanting to have a child for so long, was expecting a baby. The daughter didn't want her to share that with everybody because she had had complications before and miscarriages before. Didn't want to get hopes up, didn't want to get word out. Only to come to this terrible, terrible moment where she called her mom and said, the baby's gone. I remember that mom, who's part of our church family, talking to me with just anguish. Then she texted me during the week and then called. And then the next Sunday I saw her and she said this. This might sound crazy, Tim. God's given me this breath of a message. That my daughter's going to have a child. And that child is going to be a boy. So, you know, I'm the good pastor. Yay! She turned around. She's crazy. The next week she came in and said, I'm so sure of this. I'm going to start knitting a boy's baby blanket. One part of me went, yay, what big step of faith. And then another part of me went to fear. What if it was just a mom's heart, a grandmom's heart? Maybe that's what it is. Weeks passed and then months. And that woman came and said, my daughter is pregnant. Moved through that pregnancy to the point where she said, you're not going to believe this, but we should have believed it from the beginning. It's a boy. Mary, what's his name? Fear is a real emotion. Faith is a real option. We can say God's glory is man fully alive. But His glory and me being fully alive starts with spiritual birth, but it moves to big steps of faith. Jesus, my son is sick. I need you to come I need you to heal him. No, I'm not going to come, but I want you to go back and I want you to believe that your son is going to be healed. Meets people from the home. Son's good. We race to try and tell you, when did it happen? Well, yesterday at about such and such a time, thinking back, that's the very time Jesus said, your son's going to be healed. So I didn't want to miss this because fear is real. Faith is real. But let me move through these three, okay? Faith starts at spiritual birth. And it's simply this. It's that we believe that we need spiritual life and that we can't have that spiritual life without God. I didn't put these verses up, but if you want to jot it down, you can read it. I love this passage. I love Ephesians chapter 2 that starts off so hard and could lead to a lot of fear because it talks about the barrier between God and us. And it starts off, once you were dead. It's the start of, once you were dead. But then, once you were dead, it talks for a little while about the barriers that are stopping spiritual life. The barriers between us and God. Once you were dead. But then, I love it says in verse 4, but because of His great mercy and love for us, He made us alive through Jesus Christ. You know what He's talking about there? He's talking about a dad who came to Jesus that walked the distance and said, my son is about to die. I'll give him life. He's saying the same thing to you and me. He's saying the same thing to us. He's trying to picture to us that our Heavenly Father has that Father's heart too. And now we have this life. So if you want to be fully alive, it starts with this. You know, when we're up here doing our adult thing, there's kids downstairs doing children's ministry. You know, this is the third week of Bridge Month. Each week, the first week and the second week, after church has been done, Deb's come up and talked to me about a child each week who has started their spiritual life, with spiritual birth. I just know it's going to happen because she'll walk up after almost everybody's gone and she'll have a smile on her face and tears running down her face. And she'll say, Sage, ask Jesus in her heart. Haley, ask Jesus in her heart. And I know all of heaven has exploded because of spiritual birth. And it was just this. It was just this. They believed. They were once dead. Now they're alive. That even though they were physically alive before and mentally and emotionally alive, there was a dimension missing in them that needed life. And spiritual birth happened. But then it moves from spiritual birth to baby steps. And do you remember the story of the woman at the well? Remember, it was taking belief a little bit further. It was believe and see. Like she interacted with Jesus and she said, listen, there's a place that we go to worship. Can you talk to me about that? Yeah, well here, let me tell you, there'll be a time. In fact, it's now when there isn't a place that you have to go. Like it's with you all the time. And she said, well, I've heard of the Messiah, right? That's what she said. I've heard of the Messiah. And guess what he says? I am the Messiah. This conversation that you were surprised by, I'm the Messiah. So believe and see. But this week he goes further, and this is a push. This is a real big push. Because the dad comes. He recognized Jesus for who He is. Like he didn't have a question of how do I start this spiritual life. He didn't have a question about where are we supposed to go and worship. He comes with a purpose. My son is sick and dying and I know You're the one. Well, I want you to believe even before you see. That's not first. That's not baby step. That's a big step. You asked for something, I'm telling you it happened, but you don't see it yet. God's glory is me fully alive, but I'll never be fully alive unless I know how big fear can get and how big faith, biggest step faith is. I'll never be fully alive until I know fear in its biggest and know faith is an option that I can step into. And that I can believe God now before I see the end result. It's a big step of faith. It's a big step. I'm glad God put it in the context that He did of a father's love for his child, a parent's love for their child. And I'm glad He put it in the context of distance, that there was some distance, and that He said, listen, go, He's taken care of. And I can only imagine the walk back. Like, maybe this is what people think. Maybe the guy just floated back on a cloud. Maybe he got it perfectly. But I think it probably wasn't that way. I imagine it was a walk of fear and faith. And when he put his left foot down, he was scared that nothing had changed. And when he put his right foot down every time, he believed God took care of it. I imagine, though, he had left the presence of Jesus. I imagine that there was a conversation that was running, that was internal with himself and internal and external with God. Please, please. I imagine it to be a perfectly imperfect conversation and walk back. And then when he recognized people from his house coming towards him, he saw them at a distance. The news could be, they're coming to tell me bad news. Why else would they run out here? They don't know about the conversation that I had with Jesus. Glad he drew that picture. But he drew that picture that could be applied to hundreds and hundreds of situations. He drew it because he knew parents love their children and would give their life for their children. And when their child's sick, listen, the first time my kid got a cold, I was ready to call every neurosurgeon in America. He knew that's what we could understand, but he knew that as a starting point that we could apply that in every area of our life. What he's saying to us, if we want to be fully alive, then we're going to have to trust him in areas that we don't see the end result. We're going to have to trust him with things that are bigger than us, things that we can't take care of. But things that are real. Things that bring emotions that are real, that are big. Emotions of fear. We're going to have to come to Him and say, listen, God, I need You to do something. And He's going to tell us that He already knows the end result of it, and we need to trust Him, and we need to walk back with that kind of a trust. One thing to apply it to a parent and their child. It's another thing to apply it in every area of our life, whether it's medical or financial or relational. Whether it's a struggle of addiction or a struggle of character. to be full in life, to be fully alive. God's saying we're going to have to take big steps of faith. And big steps of faith mean that before we can make that choice, big, hard things happen. One of the men in our church was sharing a book with me a couple weeks ago about the relationship between a father and a son. And he was having me read. Or he was reading, but he would tell me the page number. And he had a 3x5 card. And I would tell him page 22. And he'd go to it and he'd start reading. And he'd read. And when he was reading, it's just, you could feel the pain of the broken relationship between him and his dad so long ago. You could feel the pain. God, heal that in me. That's not a small step. That's a big step. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me that I can make you fully alive even though as a kid, day after day, your dad damaged you one thing after another? Do you believe me that you can be fully alive? I love that statement. God's glory is man fully alive. But what I know is none of us will ever be fully alive unless we take that first step. Spiritual birth, spiritual life. So we start taking those baby steps. But you don't know what's going on. I don't maybe, but God does. And He's asking you to take baby steps. But at some point to be fully alive, He's going to allow you to be in a situation that's so much bigger than you. He's going, I can take care of it, but it won't happen today. Do you believe me before you even see it completed? Because if you do, more of that fullness of life is going to blow into you. Your lungs are going to be filled with that fresh breath, that deep breath of being fully alive. I'm not sure the why of this process God's led me to. Because I know so many of you have taken that first step, that spiritual belief, spiritual birth. But maybe you haven't. And today is a day that I just want to make this as clear as I possibly can. God gave us life. But He wants to give us spiritual life. He wants you to breathe the air of forever. A connection with Him that lasts forever. So my question is, have you been spiritually born again? Maybe He's asking you to take baby steps. Maybe He's saying, listen, I know this is all new to you. So I'm not going to ask you to take big jumps right now, but I just want you to get up and take steps. I want you to find the freedom of movement. Or maybe it's this week. Maybe this is the week that He's talking to you. Maybe you know your spiritual life. Maybe you know you've taken steps. You've moved spiritually. But now He's asking you to be more alive than ever before. He's asking you to believe now before you see it finished. You know, is that your marriage? Is that your job? Is that a friendship? Is that a relationship? Is that in a loss? Is it in a loss? That He's saying you, believe me, I know you don't understand it, but believe me, in the big picture of the universe, in the big picture of my plan of restoration, in the big picture of me bringing love, this is what I need you to believe. Even if you don't see the end result. I'm wondering for us as a church what that means. I wonder if He's saying, Tim, I'm going to give you guys this thing to do. This is what He's going to do. We're gonna have loss. Just like Mary did, we're gonna have loss. And in that loss, he's gonna say, trust me, I've got something for you. And I want you to start knitting that baby blanket right now. You're gonna tell me, and I'm gonna go, yay, and you're gonna turn around, and I'm gonna go, woo. You're taking this faith thing just too far. Knitting a baby blanket, come on. Not just one for a boy. I'm wondering. Is it yay, spiritual birth? Yay, baby steps? Or wow, leave it before it happens. Our musicians are going to come and they're going to sing it first. A song, but I don't want us to join them at first, even though it's familiar. It's about faith. It's not about baby steps. It's not about putting your feet in the wading pool, okay, where you're safe, where it just cools you down. It's not that, okay? It's about waves. It says, the Spirit lead me where my trust is without borders. That, you understand what he's saying there? Like, it's not contained in a swimming pool in our backyard. It's not that. He's talking about going to the ocean and saying, there aren't any borders out there. There's not, like, it's big. And we're going to trust God to lead us to that spot.